Lavin Sulam, Volume 3, Dvarim, page 227. What is Simon signing a treaty in the work? The writing says that thou shouldest enter into the covenant of the Lord thy God, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. And Rashi explains that thou shouldest enter through the passage. Neither with you only do I make. Through the passage. That is how signers of treaties do. A partition here and a partition here, and you go in between. It says more. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord, and also with him that is not here with us this day. We have to understand, A, what is signing a treaty in the work, a covenant? Meaning, what does that covenant give us? That by that we'll have a corruption in the work. B, what Rashi explains, that those who make those covenants would make a partition here and a partition there. What does that tell us in the work? C, what does that tell us in the work? That standeth here with us this day, and also with him that is not here with us this day. What are those two times in the work? Prophet ﷺ said, what is the virtue of making this covenant? Because it seems that it is redundant, because why do they make these covenants between them? Since they've come to an idea that they should love one another, and therefore because they love one another, what does this covenant add to us? And he says that since there are times when they might come to a situation where each sees about the other that he is not okay with him, so he should hate the other. And when he makes that covenant with him, it means that even when he sees that he's not behaving properly with him, then he goes above reason and says, since I made this covenant with him, I do not break my oath. It turns out that the covenant is not for the present, but for the future. That it might be that the love between them will grow cold. Therefore they make this covenant, so that the future will be as the present. So mainly the work in Torah Mitzvot is when they begin to take the path which brings to for her name. Meaning that when a person begins to work, he begins it not for her name. As the sages said, always will a man study Torah, not for her name. And for not for her name, he will come to for her name. And because of that, the beginning of his work was with great enthusiasm, because he could see that by observing Torah Mitzvot, he'll attain happiness in life. Otherwise, he wouldn't have started it. Therefore, in the beginning of his work, meaning when he is still studying not for her name, meaning as long as he works, he looks at the reward that he'll get after his work. Therefore, he has energy for the work. Just like in this world, a person is used to working in a place where he knows he'll get rewarded for his work. Otherwise, he cannot work for free if it is not for himself. And only when he sees that he'll get some benefit for himself from that work, he has the energy to work, since he looks at the reward and not at the work. And the work as well does not count. If a person understands that here, with this boss, he gets paid twice as much than he would have with his former boss before he came to the place where they pay twice as much. Meaning, the size of the pay makes the work that much easier. And by that, we can interpret in the work that the matter of making a covenant would mean that when a person takes upon himself the work, even not for her name, he should make a covenant with the Creator to serve him whether he feels like it or whether he doesn't feel like it. But we have to understand, what does that desire depend on? It depends solely on the pay. Meaning, when there is a great reward, then the desire for the work does not stop. And only when the reward is in doubt, then there is no energy for the work, and he goes to rest. Meaning that he feels a better taste in the rest. So much so that he says, I give up this job. This job can be for anyone, but it's not for me. Making a covenant is when he begins to go to work, even not for her name. And since now he has energy for the work, otherwise who would make him go into the work of God? Therefore he should make now this covenant and say, although there will come a time of descent, meaning that he'll not have energy for the work, still he takes it upon himself not to look at his own energy, but to work as though he had energy, he had desire. And that is called making an oath, making a covenant. But we have to understand what is the reason that he comes to a state of descent. We see in this world that a person works in order to be rewarded. Is there a matter of descent or ascent there? Why in the work of God do we see that there are ups and downs? And this has to be understood in two ways. A. Even in the state of not for her name, meaning when he works in order to be rewarded, but the reward can be understood only in faith, because the reward of a mitzvah is not in this world, meaning that you cannot receive the reward for the mitzvah in this world, but it will be received in the next world, as it is said, to do them today and receive their the pay for them tomorrow, meaning in the next world. And since his basis for the pay depends on faith, as it is said, you can trust your boss, the owner of your work, to pay you for your work, and know that the reward of righteous is in the future. And it is known that in faith there are ups and downs, because the whole matter of faith is believing above reason. Meaning that a person should sometimes that he sometimes has the energy to go above reason, where faith is against the reason. And we can say, for example, that he can go 20% against his own reason. So for those 20% he can overcome himself. Sometimes he sees that now there's a change, since he sees that his faith contradicts him by 30%. And he is not immune to such an extent yet to have a strength to go against that, and only with faith. Therefore he must then descend from his situation that faith could light in him before. And that is what makes him descend, because it is not by his strength of overcoming. Whereas with corporal pay, where there is no pay, where there is no faith involved, therefore, in the corporate world, we cannot say that he has a descent in the corporate work, because the reward is in this world, and he doesn't need faith. B. In a state of for her name, where there is no reward for his work, which makes it, and then the cause for the descent is also the reason, since all his work is based on faith. But now there's a difference. It is not about the reward, but it is about the owner. Meaning, to the extent that he believes in the owner of the work, that he is so important, that it's worthwhile to serve him, meaning it is a great virtue to serve the King of Kings, to pay for your work. Meaning that the reward for the work depends on the extent of the belief in the greatness of God. Since in their nature, there is a great pleasure if he serves an important person. For example, we know that if an important rabbi comes and he wants to let someone take his baggage to the taxi, the the porter will certainly take money for it. But if the rabbi gives it to a disciple, certainly the disciple will not take any reward for the work, because serving his rabbi is his reward, and he doesn't need any more than that. And therefore we can interpret, you can trust he who owns the work, meaning to the extent of the faith that he believes in the greatness of God, to that extent is the greatness of the reward, which is measured by the faith that he believes in the greatness of God. It turns out that when he believes that the Lord is great, then his reward is great. And if his faith in God is not so great, therefore his reward is not so great either. And it turns out, between working for her name and between not, and working not for her name, the whole basis is only about faith. But the difference is that in not for her name, the faith is about the reward, and in for her name, the faith is for whom we work. Meaning the greatness of the pleasure depends on the greatness of the creator. As the sages said, Rabbi Elazar says, know before whom you work and who owns your work to pay you for your work. Who pay you for your work. And we have to believe in the greatness of the owner of your work, because by that depends that he'll pay for your reward, meaning the greatness of the pay depends on the greatness of the owner of the work, which is the creator. Meaning there's a difference in the pleasure if you serve a great person, if you serve the greatest person in town, or the greatest person in state, or the greatest person in the world. By that we measure the pay, meaning the greatness of the king. And since the basis is faith, we have ups and downs here. This is because as long as man does not attain permanent faith, there must be ups and downs. Therefore it turns out that there might be a time that the love between them will grow cold. Therefore now, in the beginning of his work, he takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven to make a covenant so that the body will agree to serve God, whether the body agrees to serve God or doesn't agree. He takes upon himself everything to be unchanged, but that he'll say, I have said this and I will not change, but I'll go above reason, because I've taken it upon myself when I made this covenant in the beginning of the work. By that we can understand what Rashi explained towards you in the covenant through the passage. That is how people who make covenants do. A partition here and a partition here, and you go in between, you cross in between. And we should interpret it as above, that those who made covenants implied that sometimes there'll be a time that there'll be a partition here, meaning a partition that separates this, and a partition from there, meaning the other one has a partition as well. Meaning, even when both of them has a partition that stops the love between them, still they take it upon themselves now not to separate themselves one from the other, but that they'll remind themselves the covenant that they made, and by that there'll be a possibility that the alliance will not be broken. And they go in between, meaning they go over the separation that is between them, and it is all because they made that treaty, that covenant. And in the work it will mean that a person must make an alliance with the Creator, that just as he began the work right now, and certainly now he has love for God, otherwise who would make him take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven right now? And he should now make that covenant with the Creator forever. Meaning, even when there comes a time when he feels that the love of God has grown cold, he'll remember the covenant that he made with the Creator. But in the work, we should remember that the matter of making a covenant between man and God can be that love can grow cold only between man and the Creator. But how can we say that the Creator's love will grow cold? Meaning, since making that covenant is for both, it means that there can be a dissent between them in the matter of about making that covenant. But how can you say that there are changes or dissent in the Creator? Prophet explains that for man and the Creator, there is the matter of, as in water face, as with to face, so the heart of man to man. And he explains about the words, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy ways, that I may know thee to the end, that I may find grace in thy sight." And he asks, how did Moses know when he said, "If I have found grace in thy sight"? And he replies, "Since before that it is written, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." This is how Moses knew that he has found grace in the sight of God, meaning that the Creator liked Moses. That goes by the rule, as in water face ends with two face, so the heart of man to man. Therefore we can interpret that when we say that love grows cold for man, and man feels that he is in dissent, meaning that he doesn't have that much love for the Creator as he had in the beginning of his work, that makes him feel that God doesn't love him as well, and he doesn't listen to his prayer, to what man wants of God. And that gives man an even bigger dissent, because he gets doubts about what it says, "For you hear the prayer of his mouth." And he then thinks that God has no connection with the creatures. And that gives him great dissent, since he grows weaker each time in faith. It turns out that for the Creator, although for the Creator there is no change, but man, because as in water face, answer to face, he feels that way. And this is by the rule that all the changes that we learn in spirituality, it is all in the receivers. Thus we can understand what we asked, "What is that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God?" That making a covenant is whether he stands today before the Lord, that he is innocent. So he takes upon himself that even when there comes a dissent, called, and also with him that is not here with us this day, that he doesn't feel that he stands before the Lord our God, still he takes upon himself above reason not to mind anything, but to remember the covenant, that it will not break down. Rav's words. What is making a covenant? When do we have to make a covenant? A covenant is that from now on we're connected. Good connection. Under certain conditions. If they weren't for the conditions, what's the covenant for? From the beginning of degrees, that we take in the spiritual world, to the end of the degrees, to the end of correction, where there are no limitations. In each degree, there must be an agreement between us and the Creator. But each time in a different way. On the Creator's side, he's benevolent, there are no limitations. And he agrees to anything a man wants, as long as he's in contact with him. And the conditions, under what conditions do you make that treaty? A person comes to the Creator and says that I want this that connection to be between us. So the conditions of the agreement depend on man. The desire for the agreement depend on man. Everything depends on man. The Creator is agrees to everything. Why do we need an agreement? Why do I have to sign anything if I'm strong? So I'll say that I determine. Now I think that I'll be happy. That I'll be happy. Then I'll think that I'll not be so happy. Why do I have to sign an agreement with you? If I feel that I'm strong, I don't need an agreement. I don't need you, the Creator. I make that agreement only when I depend on Him. And there are things that He depends on me, and things that I depend on Him. So we make an agreement where each gives and each takes. You make a covenant because of weakness. When is it between us and the Creator? The Creator shows us that He's very weak. He shows us that He needs our attention, our love. Divinity in exile. She cries that we don't pay attention to her, like a mother. She's willing, she'll accept any kind of contact with a child, good or bad. She needs him by nature. So, He appears to us as weak. Now the question is how much I need that agreement. My agreement is that it could be but on the other hand, there's a condition that an agreement can be only if we're linked, if we're connected. I can't say that you'll help me in anything you want. In anything you want. Help from Him should be when I'm connected and depend on Him. I can't just come to Him and tell Him, you'll help me steal, you'll help me kill. If it is against His nature, I can ask of Him only things that He and I have in common. It turns out that a person asks always. An agreement can survive only if I maintain my spiritual degree. When I have come to a connection, a certain connection in order to bestow, and I want to maintain myself in that degree, so for times when there might be that the connection will not be so strong, I write a covenant, an agreement. Now I don't need that agreement. We understand one another. There is a connection between us. Now we understand that we should keep maintain that contact. But I also understand that there might be a time where there might be confusions, unjust reasons, that then will come a time when I want to break the covenant. If there are just reasons, so okay, of course the agreement is cancelled. But if I know that breaking this agreement into something worse in the connection between us, that is the worst possible thing that can happen, that it is worse than death. So I don't want to break that covenant, that agreement. Then I make a covenant, and then I say that I'm asking you, let's maintain our relationship no matter what, whatever disturbances come. For both of us, the situation as it is now, we'll keep it as a permanent situation, that less than that there cannot be. So again, I repeat, it can be a condition that I realize that a situation less than the current one is worse. Then any situation less than this situation is inconceivable and is never justified, and we should never let it happen. Any degree less than the current one is the worst possible thing. And then, in the degree I mean, I want, besides the agreement, to make a covenant. The agreement is for now. The covenant is forever. That we promise one another, that we'll hold one another at a level not less than right now. And then we test ourselves and test ourselves in various situations that might come, of course, according to our degree, not according to something higher than that, according to our degree. And we see that that covenant is feasible, applicable. When we check it and we see that we can keep it all along the degree, then we can move forward and come to the next degree. And in that too, there are new conditions that we acquire. First, you feel that you hate one another. You have the right line, the left line. Then you begin to make contact with one another. That's when the left line begins to take the attributes of the creature and becomes the middle line. And then you begin the process of coupling. And then you come to the signing the agreement, and then you want to make that degree permanent, that nothing less than that is acceptable, at which time you make, besides the agreement, you make a covenant, and so on. These things constantly appear in each and every degree. This act of making a covenant in the work is something that we have to go over in every degree, every time we have an agreement with the Creator. How do I link this article with a person who studies Kabbalah below the barrier? Below the barrier also, and above the barrier, we have actually the same situations. Some of us still don't feel it, but some of us do feel already that there are changes in us. And when we read articles, we can find them in us, but not very clearly. But not the way it actually exists above the barrier. You can't compare, of course, but still, you can believe me that these distinctions exist in us below the barrier as well, but in a form that is called single closure, meaning not clearly and actual that I can work with it, but yes, it exists. All the distinctions. And we can feel them inside. Of course, it's not the real thing, but it's like children playing in a playground with toys. Making words. That's what happens in our life, in our ordinary life. just as the Bhakti barrier is the real life, for us here it's kindergarten. But we have to take it. There's a saying, a game is something very serious. Why is it serious? Because it builds man. So, when he asks how do we tie it with us that are above the below the barrier, it's very simple, we have to find them. Those things in us, they exist. And we should certainly look for these distinctions. And now I'm under certain conditions with the Creator, and say my situation is good right now. Of course, not 100%. That not every aspect of my connection with the Creator is 100% corrected. That I also see Him as great. I'm also willing to give Him, and I need Him to give me, and I fear Him. But in just one channel of the many channels that I can connect with Him, in that one channel I feel the Creator, but I feel it good, strong. Now I want to make a covenant that it'll never drop from this level, so that even when I'm in the worst possible situations, it'll remind me of that current connection and will renew it constantly. Now I do it for the future. So how can it be that I keep it for the future? I can't secure myself for the future, but my desire to secure myself for the future gives me a vessel, a future vessel. That vessel is placed as man in the Creator, in the higher degree, and it keeps it for me. For the future. So what are the conditions? That must exist. Under what conditions do I sign that covenant? Sign that treaty that I actually agree with it? Do I have to just say it out loud or what? Keep me well or what? How do I sign it? What is my signature here? What must I do in order to make the Creator keep the relationship between us? How will he make me always treat him well as I do right now? It can be done only by raising man, by having a need, a desire, a anxiousness about the future, that I'm afraid that in the future I'll be corrupted. Where can that fear come from? That can be only because I failed many times, and so how bad I feel when I'm disconnected from Him. So now that fear builds a vessel, a preparation for man to ask that no matter what, just don't make him disconnect from me. If I actually have that preparation because of previous pains, my man is the correct man. It might be that I'm crying like a baby, but here there must be a mature signature when I sign that treaty. It's not that simple. You know how in this world we come to agreements after we beat each other up and we try and ruin one another. After that, because we don't have a choice, and when a third party works as a mediator, first secretly and then openly, until finally there is a decision that I have to sign it. There is no other choice. It's a long way. But all the past suffering must be accumulated. We know that previous degrees disappear from us if we have not yet come to the final distinction. Only the final distinction that is imprinted in Malchut, only that remains. All other distinctions are erased because they're not final yet. They're not finished. So we have to add more and more work until we finish all the distinctions. When we finish them, we have that final distinction that I cannot do anything, but the covenant, the agreement, is the best possible thing. In this world, we come to an agreement because we don't have a choice. But in the spiritual world, we have to do it because there is no better situation than that. That I will not accept any other situation but that. Then you come to an agreement. So these situations are, as he says, these situations also exist in us. How do we try making that covenant with the group? In a group, we have the best conditions for that. Because in a group, we can, first of all, be careful with one another and make that covenant with one another, because we're in a group together to reach the Creator. Is it good? Doesn't it detach me from the Creator when I work with the group, with the covenant between us? If it is a covenant that comes related to our connection with the Creator, it'll exist in the group, it'll exist in the Creator, and they will support one another. But if our covenant in the group is disconnected from the Creator, as what happened in the communist Soviet Union, when they wanted to tie themselves together in a covenant of love, but without paying attention to the Creator, without minding the Creator, keeping Him in mind, that was their sin. That was their mistake. But when we make a covenant between us for the Creator, which is actually the purpose of the covenant between us, then that can exist, and then it's an immense force for progress. We learn that a person lives in the present, and to be afraid of the future is less than believing in the Creator. What is believing in the Creator? That covenant that I ask of Him to keep me from all the bad moments that will come in the future, because I saw, otherwise it wouldn't be the right request. After I see that this is the best possible situation, this is the best situation of all situations I've had thus far, and I want to keep that level, that's called that I sign the covenant for the future, when worse times come. And believing in the Creator is that I believe Him, that He can keep that covenant. In that covenant, I have a recognition of His ability, of His goodwill, of His faith in me, of His loyalty to me. And all in all, this is faith. Faith is sensing the Creator, how great I feel Him, how I feel him as loyal, as benevolent. To that extent, I can make a covenant with him for the future. And by that, I put myself in his hands, not for now, but for the future. I tell him that when I tell him that he will guard us, I place myself in his hand. And that is whole faith. It is a result of the ordinary faith that I feel him as great, eternal, and benevolent toward me. Before we, in the spiritual world, before we can determine that the Creator is benevolent and wants us and waits for us, before we come to a situation where we feel him as a partner, we don't have anyone to make a covenant with. That's obvious. Know the Lord thy God and serve him. That's the first condition. It cannot be anything less than that. Again, what is the difference between this relationship and a covenant? That I make a covenant for the future, not for the present. And the current degree, with all its depth in my vessel and in his desire, in the present situation, is clear to me. Like vessels and the circumstances surrounding it, I have examined everything and attained them, and it is now a basis for me to determine anything for the future. Without it, there are no conditions. I can't tell him to watch over me. It's I have to be certain that it'll be like that. It can only exist in this world, so you see what our agreements are good for. The best possible situation is that I want the current situation, that it'll be no less than the current situation. When I demand at least a state of smallness, infancy, to at least maintain my current degree, like Attilus, for example, a permanent situation goes up and down, but when it goes down to its present permanent situation, and no less than that. In each degree, there is a covenant, and there are covenants in other channels as well. Now I see you as great. I examined it. I saw it. I've absorbed it. I want to keep that distinction forever. At least that. Don't take that away from me. Don't take away from me the recognition of your greatness. I want to keep that. Each and every distinction that I attain in the Creator, I sign after having examined, after having seen all the reasons, all the abilities, the connections between him and I, then I ask of him to remain at least in that. It's a result. What is signing a covenant? Am I taken by the hand to sign it? But I have to examine things. And by nature, I come to a situation where I sign a covenant. It's not that someone reminds me, or that someone told me to do it. But in spirituality, everything goes by cause and effect. And then I come to a situation where to a situation that is called making a covenant, after having examined all, everything, so, seeing that there can be no better than that, knowing that there can be worse than that, and I ask of him to guard me, watch over me for the future. When the Creator shows you a greater depth, so you're in a different situation, and in spirituality there's no difference between a second from now and 100 years from now. It's the next situation, so you have to go through the same situations from scratch again. And I wish that that will happen to me right now and not 100 years from now, because the difference, the physical difference between them in years and spirituality is nothing. Why would I want to live these 100 years, 100 physical years now, when I can live it spiritually right now? You're asking me to tell you about the covenant in Sfirot, in coupling. I would say that a covenant is a condition, a final condition in each degree, that only after that you can actually come into contact with the Creator, with a spiritual coupling. It's like you say, it might not be nice, but Rav Baruch gave it as an example, that in our world you say to your wife, I love you to the end of my life, but maybe 5 minutes here and there I'll not be loyal to you. That's not a covenant, that's not an alliance. If you're saying right now that within those 100 years of loyalty you'll be unfaithful for 5 minutes, then it's not loyalty at all. So a connection with the Creator, even in this world, much less than with the Creator, must be spiritual with you, meaning eternal, that it lives forever, and less than that cannot be ever. So making a covenant is a condition without which there cannot be a spiritual coupling. You cannot come into contact with the Creator, unification with Him. Only after that can you begin to make spiritual coupling. It is a condition, it is an inner condition, your inner condition, that then if you're ready for it, then you come to a spiritual coupling, and it can exist. Before that, it can't. Because the Creator, because in each degree in spirituality is something that lives for all eternity. Finally, all these degrees accumulate together, and we have the general infinity. But each and every degree in and of itself is a part of it, infinity, and it's infinite by itself. So you have to make that covenant in each and every degree, and you cannot attain the degree itself if you don't make that covenant. It's the last correction of the degree before making a spiritual coupling. In this world there are alliances between great people, but a treaty is like with a baby. If you're like a baby who gives himself completely to its mother and father, they can do whatever they want with him, that you give yourself completely to them. You give your soul to them. For them to do whatever is necessary for for advancement. You're willing to for it. Under that condition, they begin to make the circumcision. That's the beginning. And then there's development. When you come to making that covenant with the Creator by yourself. And then when you're mature and you make the covenant. I don't want to confuse you. The connection between us as a rabbi and a group. Rabbi is a higher degree than the group. The alliance can be also under conditions that we understand that they're mutual conditions. It can't be that certainly we're not corrected one with the other, but with what we are, we want to maintain that. To have it no less. There cannot be an absolute covenant alliance between us. We're not corrected yet. Even though I'm a rabbi, you're a disciple, or you're a group. I change all the time, let's say, for example. Why, let's say, because I want you to turn to the Creator eventually, not to me. So it turns out that I change all the time, and you change all the time. So as much as we want to be connected with the Creator, both you and I, He's the standard, the Creator. If with what I have that resembles Him, with what you have that resembles Him, with that we want to make the contact between us. It's like the people in Russia who did that. They just didn't do it relating to the Creator. That all the situations exist between us only if they're connected with the Creator. And if He is gone from the connection between us, then there is no covenant between us. That is the one condition under which that covenant breaks. There are no further conditions. The same between us. Connection between us can be only provided we have a goal to reach connection with Him. That's it. Only that. If He's gone from the connection between us, then we are far and there is nothing between us. And we want it to be like that. We want to be completely disconnected from one another with any other reason that is not making a covenant, that is not making contact with the Creator. Making contact with the Creator is the first and last condition. We don't need anything more than that. And if there are other conditions between a rabbi and his disciple, then it's not pure connection. We should maintain that. You and I. Otherwise, we're wasting efforts. If it's not that. After adhesion in the current degree, comes a new situation. That new situation comes over the previous situation. When conditions change, the raw conditions, meaning that before, it's not that we didn't take them into account, but it is a completely new situation. How? The new situation is that I am not I, and you are not you, but we're both completely different things. If it's a new degree, then I am something else, and you are something else. The Creator is a different Creator. The creature is a different creature. The conditions are different, and everything is new. What remains from the previous situation? Only the aspiration for it. Only the reason which made this situation happen. In the new situation, it is beginning completely from scratch. And then it's not that I break the previous covenant, but it's just that we have to start from the very beginning. That the covenant from before is a condition for the existence of the next situation. It can be a terrible situation. Its negativity, of course, is much worse than before. But it's not like breaking that former agreement. How shall I put it? I can't explain it yet. Over, you're going into the shells, even to the shells, over that former agreement, and you feel terrible desires toward the Creator that you want to rule Him and eradicate Him and rebel against Him. But they're because you acquired that covenant from before, and the gap between them makes you feel that. You're not giving me enough room, enough distinctions to speak here. Another 6 months, another year, it's up to you. I can't explain about that. I can't explain how the smaller degree works in the upper degree in a negative way. Is a spiritual coupling a situation where you stand against the Creator? God forbid, against the Creator. Spiritual coupling is after we make the covenant. It's not against the Creator. It's against our own nature. Who do I go against? Against my own will to receive. Then I enter a connection with the Creator. Why do I strike the upper light? I strike the upper light because it wants to break into my own border. It wants to break into me without any preconditions, even in order to receive. That is what I strike against. I'm striking against not striking against the upper light. I can't strike the light. I can only strike myself, my own will to receive. If we say that the covenant is only at the end of the degree, I don't know what the end of the degree is. Of course I don't know what the end of the degree is. It doesn't matter. The cause and effect will bring you finally, ultimately, to a situation that is called making a covenant. You don't have to know that a few situations from now you'll come to making a covenant. You don't know that, and you don't need to know that. We're not going into spirituality when we know all the degrees ahead. But one situation leads to the next. How can we know what places we can unite with the Creator with? With what attributes we can unite with the Creator? As I've said, if I determine that He's great, and that I saw that my recognition of His greatness is a good recognition, and I don't want it to ever become less than that, in that place, I want to be in contact with Him. Then, afterwards, in another place, and another place. Another place meaning attributes, until my whole territory goes into His territory, and we're together in that. So what have we got that resembles the Creator then? That we can call a covenant with Him? It might be that the only mutual thing between us is mutual bestowal. after making a covenant, there cannot be a desire to break it. That remains forever, because if it's actually making a covenant in spirituality, when something exists, it exists forever. The light is in that degree already and sustains it. There can never be anything less than that. The breaking can be you can't break it. You can go into a worse situation because of the left line, but it's another degree. But here there's a block. Oh, I lose my words. You're not ready for it yet. There's no vessel for reception here yet. Because I can only speak when there's a need.